Discipleship. What does it mean? What does Jesus call us to be his disciples? What is it that Jesus meant and intended when he called his disciples? And throughout Jesus' teaching, and there was a lot of it about learning, about following, about embracing. What is it that God calls for you and I today in the church? Because we do believe, we know that Jesus calls every one of us to be his disciples. And if we choose to be a Christian, then we are choosing to say, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. There's no one else in life. There's certainly no one else in religion. And there's no one else in the sports world or the entertainment world or the professional world or any world around you that is worthy for you to follow as you are called to be a disciple of Jesus. He is amazing. He is a great teacher. He has truth and discernment that is so deep, and we should honor and focus and put our hearts and our minds on him. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and followed him. Matthew chapter 4, the incredible story of Jesus calling his disciples. He may have called others, but this is kind of the first ones that we know about, the first to be called, and their amazing response. How is it and why is it that Peter responded so quickly? What is it about who Jesus was that Peter saw in him and desired to be attached to him and all these disciples that are called? Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. It would be a day that would change their lives. Here these fishermen were, blue-collar workers working along the Sea of Galilee. And on this day, this rabbi comes by and speaks to them, and they respond, and they drop what they're doing, and they follow him. It had to be an incredible day of awakening within Peter and those that were on this journey. Here they were, fishermen, and they turned in to be passionate, bold witness for Christ, just a few years later. What happened to Peter that he went from being a fisherman to being this incredible apostle for Jesus? Just a few years later, and what a day it must have been for him. It probably sounded like the beginning of the day may have just been a normal, ordinary day for Peter as he's working on his boat in the water, catching fish like he always does. I mean, it sounds like this is almost a random meeting. I mean, who would have thought it could happen? And Crystal, as you talked about a few minutes ago, it just thought how that fits this part of the story. It seems like so much about how God can work in every way of our lives, every day of our lives. No matter what we do, where we work, where we go to school, God can use anything in our lives to speak to us and draw us and show us what he wants for us. And I imagine for Peter, it was amazing. Many of you have had experiences like that. I mean, it looks like it was just a random, unexpected meeting on that day, but really it wasn't like that at all. Jesus had lived in the area and had probably met Peter before, and Jesus probably had been watching Peter at different times, and he knew him. He knew the potential he had. He knew the faults that he had, and he knew the plan that he had for Peter. He probably knew more about Peter than he cared, than Peter would have wanted him to. And it may be true about us too. You might think, does God understand who I am? Does God understand my journey? Does God understand what I think, good and bad, positive and negative? If God really knew who I was, he would really not have any interest in me. Sometimes we feel that way, but the truth is God knows who we are, and he loves us the way we are, and he cares deeply about us, and he cares about the potential that we have in our lives. So now, no matter what's positive or negative in your heart, I want to say God sees you just like he saw Peter. He knew where Peter was. He knew what Peter was doing. Jesus had already begun his public ministry by now, and word was quickly spreading about who Jesus was, this new teacher, this new rabbi, and probably Peter had seen and heard about him, and probably had heard about his incredible miracles that he had been working. This new rabbi, the one from Nazareth, had taken Galilee by storm, some would say, and Peter sees from a distance, or he hears from a distance, or he hears from his neighbors and his friends, and so when Peter responded to Jesus, it wasn't probably the first time he'd ever heard Jesus' voice at all, but when Peter heard Jesus call to him, "Come, follow me." Peter knew enough about who Jesus was that he knew he wanted to learn, he wanted to hear, he wanted to be changed by the master, the teacher from Nazareth, the one who had taken Galilee by storm. So when Jesus taught, his teaching was so unique and deep and perceptive. And we're looking at the early chapters of Matthew now and some of the stories there. And even early on, the ministry of Jesus was absolutely captivating by the people, the teaching that he had. He would go into the synagogues and he would teach, and the people would just be, they would be awestruck by the wisdom of Jesus. And where did he come from? Where did he come up with this? And then we begin to read, even here in the earliest chapters of Matthew, of the miracles of Jesus and how he was healing people. And he was doing these incredible miracles in front of the people, and how they understood that and saw that. And if so, who could do these things? Rumblings had begun. Could this be the long-awaited Messiah? Could this miracle worker be the one that we have heard about for centuries in our Jewish writings and collections? And could this be the one they were beginning to ask even early in Jesus' ministry, the miracle worker? You think about the miracles of Jesus. And actually, when you read about the prophecies of Jesus in the Jewish literature, you find that the ability to work miracles was the number one expectation of the Messiah in Jesus' day. I didn't know that. I read that recently in reading about the how Jews saw Jesus in his day. And that is, when they were looking for the Messiah, they were looking for a miracle worker. One that had power over the demons, had power over sickness, and had power. So when Jesus came, that's why so early on, people began to ask, could this be the one, this miracle worker that had this incredible power? And so when Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me," there was a story behind it. The call of Jesus was powerful for Peter, the call to be a disciple. There would be more. There would be James and John and Bartholomew and others. The calling of the disciples would become the call of Jesus for his people. And today, the call of Jesus is the same for his people, for his church. Come and follow me. If you've decided to be a Christian today, if you've decided that, yes, you want to do what God wants you to do, the call is to put your eyes on Jesus and follow him and listen to him and hear his wisdom and his insight. And when he speaks truth, and he does speak truth, and he speaks it through his teaching and through the parables and through the example he set throughout the gospel, the story of Jesus is enough to help you with the issues in your life and to illuminate for you the best and the good and the right and the powerful. Jesus is so insightful. And even early on, Peter was beginning to hear that and understand that. Jesus' last words recorded in Matthew's gospel show us how important this idea of following is. Would you go to that screen of Matthew chapter 28? And that shows the calling that each of us have. These are the last words of Jesus. "Therefore," he says to his disciples that were there, "go and do what? Make disciples of all nations." You know that the great calling is Jesus telling the church that your job and your role is to make disciples, to go and find people and share the gospel. And when they respond to me, they become learners, studiers, people who passionately embrace who I am and find them and teach them and baptize them and help them to understand everything that I've said to you. Look toward the end and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If you want to know truth, you want to know life, look at who Jesus is. Listen to his words. Study his parables. Study his teaching. It's incredible the truth that's found in Jesus. That's us. God calls us to be that disciple. The call of Jesus is on you and on me. And then there's the calling of others. I've just read a little bit about Peter, but I want to read the story of another disciple that was called. His name is Nathanael, Philip and Nathanael in John chapter 1. If you want to follow along there, turn to John chapter 1. And I want to read a little bit of the story of Jesus' calling here. Chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought them to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The first thing I notice about this story and the incredible recognition already of Jesus' identity. This is in the first chapter of the book of John. There's so many stories that come and events and years, 3 years or so that go by. But even in the first chapter of John, we read how early in Jesus' ministry they are beginning to recognize already who he is. Back in verse 41, Andrew, the newly recruited follower of Jesus, says of him, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ.'" Here early on, Andrew has recognized, probably through the miracles of Jesus and the insight of Jesus, that Jesus is the one. And so it's recognized very early. Jesus was quickly being acclaimed for who he was. I mean, we read the wisdom of Jesus and all the stories, and we kind of come to a gradual appreciation of who Jesus is. Well, in the beginning days, they were seeing little bits and pieces, and they were building and developing this respect for Jesus, and it was happening very quickly. Jesus is the new rabbi. They know where he's from. He's from the town of Nazareth, 12, 14 miles from the Sea of Galilee. He probably had been at the Sea of Galilee many times in his life. And so on one hand, they see this face that they saw growing up and they knew of, but all of a sudden, after he goes down and he's baptized in the Jordan River, he comes back seemingly a very different person, and they begin to call him the Messiah. That had to be amazing. You just didn't call people Messiah in Jesus' day without, number one, it being extremely heavy or important or respectful, and number two, without a belief that they were fulfilling all of what Judaism had brought before in the Old Testament. So when they begin to say, "He's the Messiah, he's the one," that was a big proclamation for him to make. John the Baptist earlier that day in verse 39, a few verses earlier, had said, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So he's already been called in John chapter 1 early in his ministry, the Messiah and the Lamb of God. Those are two different concepts to the Jewish people. The Lamb of God meant something else to the Jews of his day. That was more about sacrifice. That was more in tune to Passover. And that understanding of the Lamb of God, it would take a long time for them to understand. Jesus was already stirring the hearts of his disciples. Their understanding of him was growing. Who is this Jesus that has come onto the scene and is calling them to discipleship? Calling Peter and Andrew and James and John and Thomas and Bartholomew and and the others. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God, the King of Israel. You continue to look here in verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote." Boy, Jesus had such a major impact on the hearts of those men so early on in his time. Then one more example of that in verse 47. It says here in verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." I notice when I come to this part of the story, a little bit of a transition. Now it's Jesus who is showing and speaking and talking to these men. And he says, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." See, Jesus knew who Nathanael was. Peter and Andrew and Nathanael were beginning to understand who Jesus was, but the reality is, on the other side, Jesus knew who Nathanael was. He knew exactly all about Nathanael. He had been watching him. I'm reminded that Jesus sees today and knows who each one of us are. Jesus knows our lives. He knows our backgrounds. He knows our story. He knows all about us. He's the master. He's the master teacher. He's the master leader. He has a great seat, Jesus does, for our lives. Not only did he see Nathanael and he knew where he was at, but even today we can know that Jesus has a great seat from heaven to watch every one of us and know where we're at. We think, what's Jesus doing now? He's not walking among us, so why would we be his disciple? Why would we put our trust and our loyalty in him? But today, Jesus, we're told, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And what's he doing there? He's praying for the saints. He's interceding, one translation says. He's praying for the church. He's praying for you and for me. He's watching you. He's watching me. He's seeing what's going on in our lives. And from heaven, he is there watching over us in the same way that he saw Nathanael under the tree. I imagine a throne room of God, something like this. God the Father, whatever, however God the Father is in the form that he is in heaven. And on the right side, somehow the Son. I don't know if he's dressed in a white robe and a crown. I don't know what he looks like. But there he is, seated there, looking at every person around the world and seeing them in all their circumstances and all of history. I mean, Jesus sees your life from day one to the day that you are in the grave. Jesus is watching you, caring about you, understanding you, following you, knowing good and bad that's happening in your lives. What an amazing place it is where Jesus is watching you and me. Debbie and I have been down to Lancaster several times and watch the beautiful Christian shows that are there. And they used to have them at Living Waters before they built the new place. Many of you have been down there, but we've been to probably 6-7 times down there over the years. And you know, when you get there, sometimes you're up in the balcony and sometimes you're way on the side and you're in the back. But one time we went and Debbie and I got front row seats right down in the middle. And boy, it was amazing being there in a front row seat. And it was the one of David playing his harp and telling his story. And I remember sitting there thinking how close that was, and I could watch everything on there. And that's how I think Jesus is. Jesus has a front row seat into your life. You might wonder, does Jesus really know me? I want you to tell you that he is so powerful and he is so amazing. And he is so infinite, and he is so wise that he has a front row seat right in your life. There's nothing that has happened to you that Jesus doesn't know about. And somehow he weaves and he takes your story and he follows it. And he wants to be with you and he wants you to be with him and follow him and hear him and know that he cares about every detail of your life. Maybe there's part of your story you think, I don't want anybody to know about. I want you to know the most loving, possible being knows and loves who you are. It's Jesus himself. He bore all the sins when he went to the cross. He's been tempted in every way that we are, the scriptures say, yet without sin. He knows what you deal with, and he wants to help you through it. He wants to help you past it. He wants to help you over it. Jesus has an amazing front row seat in your life. You see, Jesus said, I saw you while you're still under the fig tree. The truth is, Jesus sees you wherever you're at. Whatever fig tree you have, wherever you're at, Jesus knows and Jesus sees where you're at work, in your marriage, at school, in the hard place, in your neighborhood, in your family. He sees you when you sit in front of your computer, when you talk on your phone. He sees you when you're talking with your family, when you're sitting alone, when you, whatever you do, Jesus is there and he sees you under your fig tree. He's the one that calls you to discipleship, to follow him, to hear him, to trust him. And of Daniel, the all-seeing master said, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Not only does Jesus see you, but Jesus knows you and knows where you're at and knows what you deal with in your life. This Nathanael, Jesus came by and he called him to be a disciple. And he calls every one of us. He knows us. He sees us. He's aware of where we are at. He invites us to come and to follow him. Come and follow me, Jesus said. That was the simple words that he gave to Peter. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Discipleship is an incredibly high calling. And every one of us today are called to that. Put your eyes on Jesus. Oh, he loves you. He knows you. He cares about you. He has your best interest in mind. You know, like we feel about our children and our grandchildren, you know, Jesus has your best interest in mind. And if you hear his correcting voice in your life, through a quiet time, through the scriptures, through another voice that God sends, know it's the master who loves you so much that he wants to help you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to take away your future or your fun or your good things. He wants to give you the very, very best because he is the master. He is an amazing teacher. He was an incredible rabbi, and he is worthy of everything we are to keep our eyes focused on him and to be his disciple. We're going to watch a 2-minute video and then one closing scripture today. Jesus calls you to be a disciple, and he will lead you, he will guide you if you're listening to him. If he was able to lead a young couple, newly married, and give them a vision of a river and a boat and people and a need for a medical clinic, and he can bring that to pass, he can bring to pass in your life incredible things if you give it to him. If you look to him, Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, he'd take up his cross and follow me. Becoming a disciple is a great commitment. Being a disciple and going on the journey is so important. The journey's important. The journey of knowing that day after day, there's an opportunity to hear from Jesus and guide you and show you and give you incredible insight into your life. And to your calling and your future, he calls us to be his disciples. Would you stand? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the call to discipleship. It's Jesus' call. So I look around to think about this congregation this morning. It's Jesus' call to Tim and Elizabeth and Chick and Connie and Helen and Louie. Every one of us that are here today, Jesus calls us to respond to him. Help us to embrace that call. Help us to know it's a journey. Help us to know how much Jesus sees us and loves us and has a plan for our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.